Good morning. Boy, you are all loud this morning. Isn't it nice to gather with family in the mornings? Amen. Would you join me this morning in prayer? Father, we come before you as brothers and sisters, as your children, to praise you, to thank you, to hear from your word. Oh Lord, please open our hearts and our minds. Convict us when we need conviction. Guide us when we need guidance. Bless us, Lord, as you always do. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. It's nice to see some faces we haven't seen for a while and to see all the kids. We've added 5 more this morning. Mindy and I brought our grandchildren, so they're all here with us, and we're still remaining sane, though I think I lost more hair. Thanks, David. I appreciate that.
We all had the same thought.
There are cards in front of you for prayer. Please pull those out. Pray for me. Fill them out, and the kids will come around and gather them in a little bit. Put on your prayer requests, and then they'll be put up across here. And then you can come up and gather them or take one home with you. And then pray for those people throughout the week. You can also offer to pray with the person who wrote it after service, or even when you get a chance if you're sitting close to them, to pray with them. That's always awesome to know that someone is praying for you, and that you can get those anytime during our praise teams singing, leading us. So just a reminder. I'm going to plug the morning class. We are going to take a 2-week break. One, I'm going to be on vacation, and then the next weekend is the weekend of the 4th, so we're not going to meet those 2 weeks. But when we come back on the 14th, I believe it is, we will be doing this book. If you would like to join us, please let me know. I'm going to order 10 of these. That'll be 1 or 2 extras. But the class starts at 8:45, and we are back out here usually by 9:30, a little bit afterwards. The book is very good. If you try to find it online, do not purchase it. It runs about $205. But I know somebody down at MacU, which is where this was printed, so we can get them for $9. So it's out of print. So that's a plug for the class. And it is really good. Making Sense Out of Spirituality. Cliff Sanders cuts through the mistaken, sometimes muddled thoughts that we have about God to reveal a true picture of the God who created you, who loves you, and who wants a relationship with you more than you realize. Very good book. That being said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many of you have ever said that? Heard it. Yeah, pretty much all of us. Kids are really not nice to one another, and we have to defend ourselves, so that's what we say. But we as adults know that our words can cut to the deep, that they can hurt more than we would like to admit. God in his word says, well, James tells us, of his own free will, or of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. That's out of the ESV, verse 118 of James, right? It is by the word of truth, the word of God, that you were brought forth. His word is what guides us, encourages us, and holds the promises of love and life in this world. The word of God, right? God spoke the world into existence. And Jamie, when she held up that book about sing, if you go back and you read the word for spoke, it could also be sang. He sang the world into existence, which I find intriguing. But God spoke. His words had the power to bring life. His words have the power to give life. We have to be careful with our words and how we use them, because they have power as well. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. That's 126. Our words, of James again, our words inform those around us, our neighbors, right? If we are truly being Christians, if we are following Christ, and if we truly believe what the Bible teaches, our words convey that. Whether we want them to or not, it's a fact. But if our words and actions don't line up, then we are only deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving our own hearts. James 3, starting at James 3, chapter 3, verse 1. I can talk. Just the brain and the tongue don't always work together. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. But if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and of For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, and I'm going to include sisters in that, brethren, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Last week, we looked at how teachers and leaders are to be held to a higher standard, that we will be judged with greater strictness, and that we need to be prepared as leaders and teachers and preachers to not only lead and teach, but also prepared to answer on how and what we teach and preach and lead, or how we do so. That we need to be prepared to answer the questions for the classes or lead in a proper way. But we also need to be prepared to answer on how we teach, with our actions as well as with our words, that we are putting God first in all that we say and do. Is what you are doing as a leader or teacher or preacher God honoring? We need to ask ourselves those things. These verses point back to what James said or wrote in 126, which is, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. Right? This is what this is all about right here. Back to that verse. This passage of Scripture is on taming the tongue. Being a Christian, or being Christians, we have to remember that what comes out of your mouth comes from what is in your heart. Did not Jesus say that what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart? And this defiles a person, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These things are what defile a person. Now, he was talking about what goes in, food and drink, that they don't defile. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles the person. Now, I read a few weeks ago out of the Experiencing God Day by Day, I thought, where would it say about the tongue? So I went back and read what it had to say, and this is a quote right out of Experiencing God Day by Day. Do you gossip? Do you tend to criticize? Do you feel that you are not responsible for what comes out of your mouth when you are angry? Does your mouth spew grumbling and complaints? These behaviors come from a heart that is unlike God's heart. That's what the Blackabees have to say to us. You need a heart after God's own heart, like David's was. David was far from perfect. We know this. We've read about what he did. He had someone murdered. He committed adultery. But he had a heart after God's own heart. He confessed his sin. He repented of it and turned from it. You, as I said, need a heart after God's own heart. We can deceive our own hearts into believing that we are right with God and with those around us. We have to be careful. Those of us who teach and preach or lead know how easy it is to stumble in what we say, and I prove that every time I get up front. We stumble over our own tongues. Words come out wrong. We mispronounce them. We misquote. Or we can get carried away with what we're saying and lose track of time. We need to intentionally rein in or bridle our tongues. It will take an act of will to direct it in the right direction, in the direction in which we wish to go, so that it turns all of the person, the whole person, in the right direction. That's what it's talking about here, right? How many of you have had horses? How many of you have horses? If that horse decides to go that way and you're not paying attention, guess where you're going? That way. And if it makes up its mind, if it's startled or scared, you've got 1,500 or 1,200 pounds, depending on the animal, underneath you that does not want to be there. And you better hang on. Reins and a bridle, a bit, help immensely. But they don't always do what you would like them to do. You can do it, but it's going to take a fight. I will tell you right now that the brightest thing I've ever did, and this is sarcasm, is to teach my horse to chase after deer on an opened, cleared out area. That's fine and dandy until he switches leads and goes in after the deer that way. Meanwhile, you're sort of still going forward because momentum, you know all that. But I did stay on. I had to pull my hat back up over my ears. We found some branches. I got him stopped because there was a bridle, because there was a bit, because I had to take control. We too can bring our tongues under submission, but like in trying to get that horse to go where it does not want to, it takes effort, it takes patience, it takes training. We have to train our tongues. Like the ships mentioned here, we can guide our tongues. It will take an act of will, again, to direct it in the direction in which we want to go so that it turns the whole of the body and mind, the ship, right? Even in a storm, he can turn that ship. It just takes a lot more effort. We have been warned three times since we started James not to be deceived. Here in James, in 1:16, we are warned not to be deceived about where what we have comes from, right? The Father of heavenly lights gives us all that's good. We didn't earn it. We didn't get it. Only because of the ability and talents that God has given us have we been able to have those things. Everything you possessed is given to you. Do not be deceived. The second time we are warned is in 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Again, it comes back to that. Or what are we taking in? Do what we believe. Is it contrary to God's word? Are we just hearing it? I mean, we convince ourselves that having heard or read the word of God, that we are good. That attending a church serving and hearing the word that preached is enough without actually having to do anything, becoming involved or being a part of a local church. We can check it off the box. I attended church service on Sunday. I'm good to go. You better watch where you're headed. The heart deceives us, and those things are heart deception. That is what the next warning about is about that we've already read about, because people talk themselves into believing that they are good enough. How do you know when enough is good? And enough of what? Let me see. I've attended church 3 times every month in the last 6 months. I've given my dues, because that's the way we think of it. We're not giving back. We're just, you know, I'm given to the church. We're good to go. And we talk ourselves into that. And we believe it. And we express the opposite with our tongues. We're telling everybody we're good. We're telling everybody we're part of the church. We tell everybody that we're Christians. But are we? That's what James is trying to point out through all of James. When we talk about others, when our tongues wag without control, we can burn a person's reputation, scorch relationships, and incinerate our witness. The tongue is a fire. It can stain the whole body and set on fire the entire course of your life. The tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Like an uncontrolled fire, it can destroy and kill. But it does not have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. To be sure, no man can tame the tongue. But we can get our hearts right with God. We can put into our hearts the love of God by simple belief. If you find that you use a different vocabulary when you are at work or away from the church, and you're the church, right? We're the church, not the building. That you bless the Lord and Father and then curse those made in the likeness of God, then know this. Both fresh water and salt water cannot flow from the same spring. Fig trees cannot bear olives, nor can a grapevine bear figs. What's in your heart is bearing fruit right out of your mouth. Ephesians 5:4 tells us, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Be thankful. This person has really just, I seen somebody go through the church on Match in Evan. He told us, you know, he was trying to bring it all back together, trying to bring calmness to his soul, get his emotions in check. How often do we not try to even do that and just let whatever's there come right out? You haven't bridled your tongue. You haven't brought that fire into control. You haven't boxed it up or put it in where something where it can be controlled. Colossians 3:8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. with the Spirit's enabling and empowerment, and believe me, it is still up to every Christian, you can control your tongue. No man can tame it in and of himself, but through the empowerment that is given to us by the indwelling Spirit, we can bring our tongues under control. We can learn to listen as much as we speak. I'm in the process of that. We can control what comes out of our mouth, even in the worst circumstances. Last week I warned you that we will all stand before God and give an account, that judgment day is coming, and that every careless word we have spoken and every action we did or didn't take will be judged, and we will be held accountable, every one of us. It's going to be more strict or stricter for those of us who teach and preach and lead. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now that's right in there where he's talking about controlling the tongue, right? Whoever wants to see, to love and have good days, keep his tongue. It is up to you to control your tongue, to put away obscene talk from your mouth. Don't let there be foolish talk, filthiness, or crude joking. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. We have it right here in writing. God's words to us. And don't try to rationalize a foul mouth or a sharp tongue. The excuse, I am only human, don't cut it, because you're not. If you are a born-again, blood-bought Christian, the Spirit of Christ dwells within you. He can help you overcome that. He can keep you from saying the things you don't want to say. That I'm only human is a lie of the enemy to deceive you into believing that, well, this is just the way I am. Well, guess what? You're not the way you were. You are enabled and empowered by and in the Spirit who dwells within you to overcome, to control your tongue, to be what you're called to be, and rise above the pettiness of this world. You are a child of the living God, blessed with every good and perfect gift from above, forgiven and set free from the bondage of sin. He has removed the heart of stone and given you a heart of flesh. In Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Live like it. Talk like it. Take it into your heart and make it become a part of who you are. Those things I just told you that are straight from the Word of God. That you are loved beyond measure, beyond our understanding. That you're forgiven, set free, and given and empowered to be what God wants you to be. Right where he's placed you. The horse, the ship, and fire can be controlled. So can your tongue. If you're willing to attempt it, to try it. Of course, it goes with the help of the Spirit, because in and through him it can be accomplished. Again, it takes bridling the horse to make it obey. It takes the will of the pilot to turn that rudder, to turn the ship, even in the roughest of storms. And a fire is kept under control by keeping it inside a fire pit for roasting marshmallows. We all like to do that, hot dogs. We can control that fire. It's in a ring. You can hem it in and box it up, not letting it get out of control. I've been married for 41 years, almost 42. If I slide my tongue back,
there's a groove.
There's a groove from biting my tongue. Make a groove in your tongue and bite it. Or bite it until you get the groove. What is in your heart will bear fruit out of your mouth. A fig tree does not bear olives. What's coming out of your mouth is going to tell what kind of tree you are. That should scare all of us. But the other side of it is, we don't have to be that way. Because we've been given new life. We've been given a heart of flesh. We've been forgiven and made new. The old is gone, the new has come. We need to live like that. We need to live in the joy of the Lord. We need to give thanks. We need to sing songs of praise. We need to bless our Lord and Savior without cursing those people who cut us off in traffic, who squeeze the bread as they toss it down into our bags, who are just, we need to forgive them because they too are created in the image of God, just as we are. So if you find yourself having trouble controlling your tongue, or if you know someone who does, then I invite you to come and pray for that person or for yourself. See, that way if you come up here to pray, everybody will think it's about somebody else, right? So come and pray as the praise team comes up. As we sing this last song, come and pray. Come and pray that their tongues will be controlled, that they will speak words of love and truth and mercy and grace. But I'll pray for each one of you right now. Lord, we have gathered here to hear your word. We've gathered here knowing, Lord, that you are God and Savior and King, and that, Lord, you have empowered us and enabled us to live and talk as Christians. Lord, I pray for all of us, and I include myself in this, that, Lord, you would help us to bridle our tongues, that you would help us to control and steer the whole body, Lord, in the direction you would have it to go. That you would tame our tongues, Lord. That you would help us to tame our tongues through your presence in our lives. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. May the words of my heart, the words of our heart, come out of our mouth. I hope that you will all stay for our snacks and time of fellowship. And I pray that you would use your words. I told the class this morning, your life speaks volumes, but use your words. Use your words in the right way. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are truly grateful for your word, that you spoke and created all of everything except for us. We are infinitely and wonderfully made. We thank you, Lord, for that. You made our tongues. You know what it takes to control them. So, Lord, bridle us. Bridle our mouths. Put a bit in it. Keep us, Lord, from saying things that we should not. To speak love and mercy and grace. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the time of fellowship. We thank you for the food that we are about to partake in. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God, Savior, and King, that we are redeemed, given new hearts, forgiven and set free in the new life that we have through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.